Hi, Lee. This is Sean Kress. I'm calling from Palmerton, Pennsylvania. I'm calling to wish you a Happy New Year, as well as my family, Tammy, Samantha, and Cassie. Take care. Nice talking to Lee. Great podcast. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year, Sean, and thanks for using the Call Me button at MyChristmasStocking.net. Hi there, I'm Lee Cameron. Welcome to a special non-Christmas edition of the Christmas Stocking. Well, kinda. In our modern times, for many Americans, the Christmas season isn't capped off by Twelfth Night or Epiphany. It's New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, right? Especially the festive look-to-the-warm-weather parade called the Tournament of Roses. In the late 19th century, Southern California was seeing an influx of people from the East Coast and Midwest. They found a paradise home, and some thought, wow, I can make a ton of money on this place. In 1890, Pasadena, California, the Valley Hunt Club decided that since folks back home were suffering another tough winter, why not let the world know that things were beautiful in California? Flowers blooming, fruit ripening, it was just great. And the Tournament of Roses Festival was born, with horse-drawn carriages covered in flowers, polo matches, and a big tug-of-war match. They got about 2,000 people to come watch. It grew over the years to include marching bands and cars decorated with flowers, then motorized floats. In the early days, the tournament also included games like ostrich races in the park, bronco busting, and even a race between a camel and an elephant. Guess which one? That's right, the elephant. Remember, all this was long before the days of radio, let alone television. But it worked. Newspapers back east began to notice and cover the parade. I bet reporters were fighting over that beat. They formed the Tournament of Roses Association in 1895 because it was getting so big, and they're still running the parade. In 1902, they added a football game. That didn't go too well. Stanford played the University of Michigan, which was a powerhouse even then, and Stanford gave up in the third quarter. Gave up when they were losing 49-0. How humiliating. Organizers decided football wasn't the way to go, so they held Roman-style chariot races for a few years until 1916, when they tried the pigskin again. Eventually, inspired by the Yale Bowl, the Rose Bowl Stadium was built, and the first game in the stadium was played New Year's Day, 1923. So, back to the parade. It has had the same route for decades, mostly down Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. There are still community floats done entirely by volunteers, but most of the floats are built by professional float builders. If you're in the area, you can visit the floats for a couple of days before the parade and see the flowers being put on, and then for a day or two after. You can also volunteer to help put flowers on. Horses are still a big part, with wild horses, Arabians, mounted police, and rodeo performers traveling the parade route. Just as with Macy's Parade, bands from all over play the Rose Parade. You'll always see Pasadena City College's band, the bands from the teams in the Rose Bowl, the tournament's honor band, the U.S. Marine Corps band, the Salvation Army band, among others. You'll see high school and college bands, and it seems like there's always one from Hawaii, which I hear also has a pretty nice winter. This year, 2010, Sully Sullenberger, the man who ditched his plane safely in the Hudson River, will be the Grand Marshal. Past GMs include Shirley Temple, who did it three times, once as a girl, Earl Warren, Richard Nixon, Dwight D. Eisenhower after his presidency. Others include great film comedian Harold Lloyd, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Bob Hope, Herbert Hoover, Walt Disney, and later Mickey Mouse, Charles Schultz, Billy Graham, Hank Aaron, Pele, Bob Newhart, William Shatner, Regis Philbin, Kermit the Frog, and many more big names. In 2009-2010, more than a million people are in Pasadena New Year's week, with at least 700,000 lining the streets to see the parade. I went for the first time last year and hung out at the end of the route. We may be in the viewing stands this year. It will be seen by millions more on television in more than 200 countries and international territories, and on many networks and channels in the U.S. So, what are you doing New Year's Eve? This is a baseball player and a jazz singer.
Maybe it's much too early in the game, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. And I wonder, I wonder, I wonder whose arms will hold me tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night. Welcome in here. question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Baseball player is Rick, and the jazz singer is Deanna. Rick Dempsey and the Deanna Bogart Band. What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Yes, that's Rick Dempsey from the Baltimore Orioles back in the day, and Deanna Bogart is a longtime Maryland jazz musician. Their CD is called Home Run Holiday, and you can find out how to get it at mychristmasstocking.net. Just go to the show notes. I was lucky enough to get one more Christmas memory from Top Elf at mychristmasstocking.net, and I'm happy to share it with you. It's from Mark Oship. My wife and I found that when we got married, we shared a favorite Christmas tradition. The Saturday before Christmas, we would choose a location around Western New York and drive there looking at Christmas lighting displays. We were married in 1990 and continued the tradition. In 1992, when my eldest son was just 3 months old, we decided to drive to East Aurora, New York, to look at the Christmas displays and check out the massive display put on at the Fisher-Price plant. There is a famous old-fashioned 5 and 10 cent store in East Aurora called Vidler's, and Diane asked me to stop there before we began our tour of lights. We got there a little after 7 p.m. and found the street blocked off in front of the store. Thinking that an accident or a fire was going on, we parked in back of the store, and when we got to the street, we discovered that a community sing-along was in progress on the street in front of the store, sponsored by Vidler's. We bundled 3-month-old Matthew in a thick blanket and joined in the fun. They block off the street the Saturday closest to Christmas, unless it's Christmas Eve, then it's the Saturday before that, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Hand out song sheets, serve hot chocolate and donuts, and sing carols for an hour accompanied by the Salvation Army Brass Band. Afterwards, we shop at Vidler's for a while, then drive around looking at the Christmas lighting displays. The East Aurorians go all out for Christmas. Then we take the family to Pasquale's, a fantastic local Italian restaurant, for dinner. We have made this event an annual tradition that the whole family looks forward to yearly, and have only missed the event twice in the past 18 years. To us, this event indicates that it is Christmas. Mark Oship, North Tonawanda, New York. Thanks, Mark. Now that's what it's all about. I've really enjoyed this season. You guys have been great, giving me excellent topics, music, and just love via email, Facebook, and Twitter. All of those will be up if you get any more bright ideas. I need them. I already have some for next year, but I can always use more. You know, we were very Europe-centric this year, so I think we'll head to the Philippines next year, among other topics. And the Philippines begin their season early, so you may get an early episode. I mean, really early, not too long after the summer one, which I also plan to do. And there's a lot of music that I haven't had a chance to get to this year. And I plan to talk about what may be the oldest Christmas parade in North America, and it happens before the U.S. Thanksgiving. So keep your feet open throughout the year. You don't have to listen to an episode when you first get it, but it will be there when you need some Christmas. Twitter.com/XmasStocking. Follow me for Christmas news and podcast updates there. podcast updates also at facebook.com, where you can search for Christmas Stocking and find us really easily. I've found we're able to converse more there, so come on over. MyChristmasStocking.net will always be around when you're trying to find Christmas info, and I'm trying to expand my Amazon links there. It's a way you can easily contribute a bit of money while you're buying what you would have bought for exactly the same price you would have bought it anyway. You can email me there at MyChristmasStocking.net, or you can just do it directly by sending it to TopElf@MyChristmasStocking.net. I'll do my annual thanks sometime in January, but I want to thank you right now for being part of the Christmas Stocking this year, and I hope you'll be around in 2010. Happy New Year!